This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you ka-ching. Ka-ching. Come on, guys, we talked about this. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. And once you start selling, Shopify makes getting paid simple by instantly accepting every type of payment. What I love about Shopify is how, no matter how big you want to grow, Shopify gives you everything you need to take control and take your business to the next level. You want to grow big? Shopify. You want to grow small? Shopify. You want to grow medium rare? Also Shopify. Shopify powers 10% of all commerce in the United States, and Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/ifanboy, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/ifanboy now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/ifanboy.
You're listening to Goodfellas Minute 25.
I know I'd go from rags to riches if you would only say you
can. Hey, welcome to Goodfellas Minute, the only podcast that analyzes the Martin Scorsese film Goodfellas one annoyed minute at a time. I'm Ron Richards, and joining me are Josh Flanagan.
Hello.
And Connor Kilpatrick.
How you doing?
And also joining us to round out the week is Mr. Tom Merritt, the host of the Daily Tech News Show and Sword and Laser and Court Killers and Current Geek and other many wonderful things. How you doing, Tom?
What do you want me to do about it?
So, speaking of that, Minute 25 starts with Paulie trying to explain to Sonny that they don't listen. And it ends with Sonny continuing to beg Paulie for help.
Well, it's funny because I on my notes, I always have a little thing at the top, what a note saying what the beginning and the end of the minute is. And I have Sonny complaining, Sonny begging.
I'm begging you here.
So this continues the aftermath of the scene at the restaurant where Sonny now has come to Paulie for help. And we get to see Henry is actually there. And we'll just get right to it. I wish I had Henry's shirt. That's a great shirt. Come on, look at it.
Thing to start with. But I'm not surprised we're starting with it.
It's a great shirt. And like we talked about yesterday, so Henry is sporting a blue striped, you know, kind of with the wide collar, but it's open knit. And you see his undershirt. He's wearing a gold chain, but with a cross, not an Italian horn, because he's half Italian.
Yeah, it's Henry Hill leisure wear. Not far off from like Don Draper leisure wear.
Yeah.
Oh.
But slightly more authentic feeling, I feel like. It's probably a little more down market, if I'm going to be honest.
It's glorious. If I could have that shirt, I would wear it every day.
And you would wear it like that.
It's quite colorful for these folks.
I tend surprised when he popped in? Like, and maybe it's because I'm watching it minute by minute instead of just sitting back. But I was sort of like, oh, Henry's there. Wow.
Well,
okay.
I don't know if you know this. He's the protagonist of the film.
Well, yeah, exactly. Wait, is he? I mean, we're only 24 minutes in. I think it's a little earlier to be making that kind of joke.
So, I mean.
Not for long.
Well, we find out why Henry's there, basically.
Yeah.
Was this whole thing a scam to set up to get Paulie in under the restaurant?
Well, no. my thought is that
I don't mean from Tommy's perspective, but
no, I think that Paulie knows everything that's happening here. Paulie is completely aware of what he's going to say, of what's going to happen, of every single thing.
Well, from my reading of the movie and the book, they're constantly on the lookout for ways to scam money out of people, and Sonny's certainly somebody they would do that for. So, and then here in this minute, Sonny basically references to Henry that this is the thing we talked about. I think Henry saw in the fight an opportunity and convinced Sonny that he should bring Paulie in, knowing this would make the crew more money.
But he also would have gone to Paulie ahead of time and said, "Here's the thing we're going to do."
Well, no, unless it happened. I mean, because Sonny says something in this minute that has always bothered me, like for years, and he says, Tommy taking over this restaurant would be horrible. And so is right. It the fact that Tommy owes so much money that now when he pays it, he's going to buy, he's going to own the, like, why is Tommy involved in the ownership of the, like, that's like these, he basically, Sonny's going to Paulie asking him to come in as a co-owner of the restaurant. So it's protected. So it's, you know, like as a way to block Tommy from more, like, I don't understand that, you know?
So Tommy's debt functions as a sort of hostile takeover.
Yeah, exactly. It's so much money that when he pays it, he's going to own the joint. I mean, I don't know.
Is that what they mean when they say leveraging debt?
Maybe. I mean, it's a lot of.
I don't know. But I don't know. I think that realistically, that it was just the actor talking.
Yeah. I have a practical reasoning for that, but we can get to that after we talk about the many great Paulie faces.
Well, just before we get to, because we are going to get to that, and he's going to get his due. It's fine, but I want to go ahead and give Sonny credit here. For an amazing tirade of dialogue. Yeah. And he just goes on and on. He says so many words in his minute.
Well, okay, let's start. We're gonna jump ahead. Let's talk about it. You get
fantastic phrases like arch criminal, with the previously mentioned Lammas. He's not a fence jumper. You know him. You know me, right? I know you. Why do you know from me? I know. Not a fence jumper.
One of the things people love about this minute that we love is that Paul Sorvino's faces are wonderful. He's completely exasperated by Sonny in this scene.
Yes.
And the reason for that, and we talked about this before, earlier in the week, is that Scorsese used a lot of tricks in this film to really get authentic performances. And one of those tricks was he had Anthony Borghese, a.k.a. Tony Darrow, improvise this scene. Well, there was obviously bullets they had to hit, but he told him to speak more and longer than he is supposed to and don't let Paulie get a word in. And so part of the reason why Paul Sorvino looks so exasperated is because he's trying to say this dialogue, but this other guy won't shut up.
Really?
Yes.
Wow.
That is wonderful.
So on the one hand, I got to give the actor a lot of credit. And that could be the reason, Ron, for him misspeaking and saying the line about Tommy coming in, because he was basically fighting for his verbal life here to do what Martin Scorsese told him to do. So there you go.
Interesting.
But a couple of things. One, he calls the Bamboo Lounge classy.
It's a classy joint. You've been there.
You've seen the layout.
Are we calling it classy?
Well, it's got lamps with fringe on it.
Well, let's keep in mind the tiki, I don't want to say revival, but the tiki trend of the 60s.
They serve Crown Royal.
Right. Yeah. No, but the idea of the rise of the tiki, you know, basically, let me give you a little history on tiki culture, guys. All right, please. You want this? You want tiki culture minute?
Let's go to school.
All right. So in the tiki culture started like in the 30s or so as stuff from Hawaii started coming over. You know, Hawaii wasn't a part of the, you know,
the
didn't become a state.
Finally arrived.
Yeah, no, it didn't
Sandwich
become
Sandwich Islands.
Exactly. But part of it was the World's Fair in 1939, which took place in California, brought in Polynesian culture to the US and exposed a lot of people to, you know, whether it's the clothes and the fabric or the, you know, or the food and the drinks and the cocktails and all that sort of stuff.
Prior to this, most drinks had a really good chance of being watered down should rain happen.
Right. But so anyway, you know,
were umbrellas and drinks before this?
Right.
Were they?
It's fair point.
True. Yeah, it's fair. Yeah. But yeah, no, so actually, and in 1937 or so, the first tiki bar in the continental U.S., Trader Vic in Oakland opened and eventually became a chain, and it became, you know, kind of led to tiki themes going throughout the, you know, kind of throughout stuff. You know, it reached as far, you know, as far south as Disneyland. A huge section of Disneyland when it opened was Polynesian themed. There's a Polynesian hotel at Disney World in that was built in the 70s. So we're talking about like there was just this craze of tiki that started in the 30s. It died down during World War II. And then once Hawaii became a state in 1959, it kind of resurged. And the 60s were really highlighted by this tiki revival as American culture really kind of romanticized it and really kind of did that. So, you know, it's a good chance that this restaurant was seen as a classy joint because it was very trendy.
I don't buy it.
I'll buy it. I want to know what it is about the layout that made it classy. You've seen the layout. If it had been laid out differently, is it a feng shui thing?
I don't know.
At that time, would people go into restaurants and go, look at how this place is laid out. This is a dump. Let's go.
This is a classy joint.
Well, I feel like there were dives and there were expensive high class restaurants, yeah. and a classy joint was like somewhere in between. And that's where Tiki Bar fits perfectly in the between.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's accessible to the common folk, but also the mobsters like it. Yeah, it's not too white. There was no white linen, white tablecloths, right? You know, I do like that Sonny tries to leverage his relationship with Pauly. I've known you all my life.
I like everything that happens there. It's what could I do? What are you going to do? And then Pauly, I'm going to do it. You don't think I do it? I'm not going to do it. It was do it and I do. Just repeated ad infinitum, and it was wonderful.
And there's the moment where Pauly is visibly annoyed and looks to Henry, and it's
best
this
take in the movie.
It's this look of why did you bring this guy to me? Like what more do I have to do? Like it's this this level of annoyance that I can't imagine anybody else pulling off other than Paul Sorvino.
I think he's putting on a show, the character.
Yeah, fascinating.
I think they're running the game on Sonny.
Yeah.
I think it's like a hustle. Because, and again, this will be even in the next minute that we talk about it, but what's about to happen, there's no reason for him to do the thing that's about to happen.
Yeah.
Sonny makes bad choices.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's got to be, I think you might have a point about Henry jumping on the opportunity. Sonny is, I mean, I get the sense that Sonny is fearful for his life now.
Yes, yes.
He's got to look over both shoulders when he goes out to his car.
The only way that Tommy's not going to kill him for embarrassing him is if he has Polly's protection.
Exactly.
So that's why he's got to do it. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that would be why, but he's basically.
Yeah. I mean, if Tommy took over the joint, that'd be like a silk hat on a pig.
No disrespect meant.
Yeah, that's the best part. It's like, no disrespect, but let me say a horrible insult.
Well, but who's being disrespected? The pig?
Possibly.
A hat?
Wait, yeah, who is what? Wait, so is the restaurant's the hat and Tommy's the pig?
No, restaurant.
No, Tommy's
is
the hat.
No.
You're right.
Restaurant is the silk hat.
Wow, that metaphor makes total
Tommy's
sense.
The pig.
Well, also, how many silk hats do people wear?
I feel like it was a
back
common
in the day?
Enough.
Back
then, a lot of the time.
It's a common enough hat material.
You wouldn't be caught dead in a tiki bar without a silk hat.
What is a silk hat? Oh, a silk hat is like a top hat.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, I had no idea.
What's a hat guy? What's a farrier?
A silk hat is a man's tall cylindrical hat covered with black silk plush.
Kind of thing you wear to a classy joint.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
You've seen that. It's the kind of layout that lets those hats in.
This line is a lot funnier now that it's a pig wearing a top hat. And for me, I thought it was like a silk hat. It was like a floppy, almost like a Kangol, like cab driver hat.
No.
No, those are wool.
Beret.
Yeah, beret. You know, something. So, because I don't really see silk as having a lot of form. You know, it's kind of very, it drapes.
You've wrapped the hat. Now, so here's the thing.
It's a pig with a top hat.
Does the hat bring up the value of the pig, or does the pig bring down the value of the hat? And that's really the question here.
It's not a good metaphor. It's not a well thought through metaphor.
Yeah, I'm going to eat the pig. I don't care if it's got a hat.
Then a Polynesian restaurant is the perfect place for that.
Well, true. Yeah, the pork. It's all, yeah.
That's why it's a classy joint when they bring out the pig roast. He's got a hat on.
Yeah.
Ooh, it's a classy joint. Is that a Cavendish apple?
I'm sorry. Pig's wearing a baseball cap. I can't eat here.
Yeah. I can't eat here.
I love that metaphor. Oh, it's great.
Is that pig in a driver's cap? I'm sorry. We don't want this table anymore.
But what I like, and I feel bad, and I feel that Tom is going to miss it because it's not till next week with the next minute, but Sonny is teetering on the edge.
Yeah.
Yes.
Like he's inching ever closer. He's trying to make the point that Tommy's a bad guy, and he's teetering on the point of going too far. And not to spoiler warning, he does go too far next. And we'll talk about that next week. But it's just like to see he keeps pushing and keeps pushing. And Henry just is, of the three of them, Henry is cool as a cucumber.
Always. Henry's circumspect through the whole movie.
Yeah.
Well, he knows what's coming now. He knows that Sonny's so desperate he's going to give up a piece to Pauly. He knows exactly what Pauly's going to do when he gets that piece.
So the whole thing is orchestrated.
Yeah, Josh, I think you're right. You've changed the scene for me.
This is what they did. They were good at it.
Yeah.
They're running games.
This is what I said. I said he saw this was going to be an opportunity to scam money out of Sonny, and that's what they do. That's what they took it from him.
Henry's throwaway line of tell him what we talked about doesn't make any sense. Like, why would Henry go and collude with Sonny.
No, because this is what happens. So, right. Yeah, exactly. You're right. I'm sorry, Tom. Go on.
No, that's all I'm saying. Like, there's no other explanation for him to do that unless he's also running a game.
Yeah, he's realized that Tommy could likely kill Sonny. This is an opportunity for me to get another business or something to do over it. And so he pulls him aside and goes, "Hey, listen. You know, how much of this was fueled by Henry going, listen, Tommy's going to swack you unless you get
probably a lot."
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's the Frenchie deal. It's every deal. He sets it up and then other people do it and he gets his cut.
Wow.
Little does he know that it's not in the movie really, but it's the same thing's going to happen to him.
Well, yeah. if you read Wise Guy, like that's really de-emphasized in the movie, how much of a deal maker Henry Hill was.
Yeah.
You know, how much he was really good at chasing that money and sort of putting those things together and finding the angle.
Well, we've talked about that before. They were just always hustling. I mean, you got to respect the work ethic of the if the mafia existed, you'd have to respect the work ethic.
Well,
I mean, minus the violence.
Well, and the theft.
And minus the illegalness of it.
But. Well, and also just the utter unfairness to anybody else who ever did anything honestly. It's just
the work, but they're putting in the work to be dishonest.
Right. I mean, it's America here. It's a land of opportunity.
Again,
that's how you get ahead. But also, you know, regular schmucks on the street tend to not get shot.
That good government bullshit.
Right.
Yeah.
I just saying. I think Tom, you're with me here, right? You got to respect it.
I mean, there's a work ethic to respect. I mean, maybe it's put in the wrong direction. That's for moralists and philosophers to judge. But if we're just talking about work ethic,
you're now going with a laissez-faire attitude on
in a free market.
All right. Anything else in this minute? Any other observations?
I mean, Sonny is perceptive, and he does know that the only person he really has to fear is Tommy. So yeah, you have to give him a little credit. He knows where the danger is. Mm. I got to find something here for Sonny.
Like a rodent.
Also, I'm fairly certain in this whole film, Sonny curses the most per capita.
Oh, all right. Fuck time.
Whoa.
All right. Suddenly the show changed.
Wow. I wish I had a face. I could just.
So,
I love how you waited to spring this on me on the final episode.
I like that we really ramped up the stakes on the fuck every single episode.
How open-minded would you say you were?
That's for philosophers and moralists to judge, Connor.
That's one of those callbacks we were talking about.
So Friday's fuck count is 4. It's low for it's the same number as Monday, but it's low for the week. But that brings the weekly total to 29 and the total in minute 25 to 44.
Wow.
Yeah, wow. So we've almost jumped up to 2 per minute at this point.
Amazing.
Did we double the output this week from the...
Well, last week's total was 15.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, wow.
So
we're at 44 now.
All right.
Are we doubled... This week
That's
was doubled the total.
We're going to talk about a work ethic.
Yeah, right?
What happened was we got Sonny and Tommy joined the movie, so there you go.
Yeah.
So there's your fuck count for the week.
You got to respect it. You got to respect the language.
Oh, I almost forgot. I'm sorry. My fun fact for the episode. So now that Polly's the restaurant business... The common stat you hear about restaurants is that 9 out of 10 fail in the first year. But this figure was called into question from a 2003 study by a professor at Ohio State University who found that only 26% of restaurants fail in their first year, but then 19% in their second year, 14% in their third year. So about 60% of restaurants fail in their first 3 years, at least according to this professor's study.
Was there any correlation with those restaurants being involved in organized crime?
No, as fronts for mafia, we don't have that statistic.
I'm going to guess that changes the stats dramatically.
Possibly, yes.
I like the leeway we're getting with these fun facts, by the way.
Yeah, you can tell with this.
As I said, this whole week was basically 1.5 scenes.
I think eventually so, just be like, here's some stuff about bats. No reason.
Well, you know.
I like bats.
It might come to that. Oh, we have another long scene where nothing happens. At least nothing changes.
All right. Well, we got some work to do today because, as our listeners know, that you can go to patreon.com/GFM where you can support the show, where you can sign up to become a patron of Goodfellas Minute. We thank everybody who's done it. But our loyal Tom, do you call them Patreons or patrons?
I say patrons.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which
that's
would be
weird.
The right thing.
Yeah. That's
our boss.
Yeah. Well, yeah, they're your bosses. They are. Yeah. But our loyal patrons who pledge $5 or more a month. One of their perks that they get from it is that we will give you a mob nickname. And this week, we're excited to bestow our first nickname on our first patron. Connor, who is the lucky gentleman?
First patron was Luke Batt, B-A-T-T.
Man, and
now on the show, we will decide his mop nickname, and I'm going to propose, well, my first inclination was Lukey Batts, but that's not his name. His name is Batt, so I'm thinking baseball bat.
Yeah.
But that's so...
Lukey baseball bat.
Abstract. Lukey baseball. I just call him Lukey baseball.
That's what they would call him.
It's a little cocky. That's what it's short to, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think it's Lukey baseball. Yeah.
Lukey baseball.
And you leave the bat off because everyone knows that's his last name.
I know, but we're going to have to... You're going to list him on the page.
That just brings us to Luke Balls.
Yeah. Unless his weapon of choice as a made man is a brick bat.
All right, well, Tom, as our guest this week, pick a final name for Luke.
You know, I like Lukey Baseball. That just sounds right.
There you go.
Lukey Baseball.
All right, Lukey Baseball, we thank you for your support.
Yes, and if you see Lukey Baseball coming down the street, you're going to want to cross. You don't want to get in Lukey Baseball's way.
You got Louisville Slugger painted all over your face then.
All right, well, that wraps...
criminal, this guy.
Well, that wraps it up for Minute 25. Tom, thank you for joining us for this entire week. We really appreciate it.
Hey, thanks for having me, you guys. This was really fun. I'm honored you included me.
Excellent. And so if people want to keep in touch with you, they can find you at your website, right?
Yeah, tommerritt.com collects everything together, or just look for me on Twitter, Ace Detect, A-C-E-D-T-E-C-T.
And as someone who also produces a daily podcast, we respect your work ethic as well with the Daily Technique Show, man. You do
everybody into the pool.
Yeah, you do a lot more than we do on that show.
I think you really want to make sure that your tech infrastructure is strong from the bump you're going to get from this.
I'm ready.
Yeah. I think
call the team
in.
Call them in. Call the emergency team in.
I'm going to pull in people for the Lukey baseball bump.
Yeah. I mean, just like literally check all the physical wires for one thing. Just make sure, because they could burn.
Is that plugged in? Wait, hold on. Are you going to charge me insurance?
Well, it'd be a real shame.
Like, they might burn, Tom.
Listen, this burned down.
It'd be a real shame if your podcast empire fell apart. I'm just saying.
It's a real nice microphone you got there. I can hear it. Sounds good, doesn't it? It'd be a real shame if something was to happen to it.
Unplugged.
Listen, this is stereotypical, and as an Italian, I'm offended.
That's why you're here, so we can do that.
All right. Cover. You're Ron the Cover Richards.
Yeah. Real baseball shit.
So before anything bad happens to Tom Merritt, go follow him on Twitter and download his podcast. And thanks again, Tom, for joining us.
Yeah, thanks for having me, you guys. It's great.
Cool. So tune in on Monday for minute number 26, which is a very exciting minute as we get to see more exasperated Paulie. But until then, you can follow us on Twitter at GoodfellowsMin and on Instagram and Facebook at GoodfellowsMinute. And of course, go to GoodfellowsMinute.com where you can find all the episodes and links to subscribe and all that stuff. Although if you've already found us, you probably already figured that out. As I mentioned, go to Patreon.com/GFM to support the show, or go to GoodfellowsMinute.com/support where you can click the Amazon link. And if you got a question for us, you can email us at contact@GoodfellowsMinute.com. And as always, we want to remind you to go check out our sister site, iFanboy.com, for our weekly comic book podcast, if that's your thing. And of course, we want to tip our hat and show some respect to our the godfathers of the format, the guys over at Star Wars Minute. Go to starwarsminute.com, check out their podcast. So until next week, I'm Ron.
I'm Connor.
I'm Josh Guy.
Or will I go from rags to riches? My fate is up to
this show is sponsored by BetterHelp. You ever feel like you really need to get something off your chest? This is like a real thing. Like, if you're mad, if you're upset, if there's something going on, like there's often for me an idea. Maybe it's a wrong. Maybe it's a moment. It's an injustice. It's something that just you keep going on and on, over and over in your mind about it, and like that can create anger and resentment or shame, whatever it is. And very often I have found, I am not a therapist, I have found that when you let it out, when you give it voice, when you say it out loud, sometimes it makes you feel better because you've expressed it. And sometimes it makes you realize like, oh, this is not a big deal, but it's been stuck in my head. So you give voice to those things, and it can make you feel a lot better. And shock of all shocks, therapy is one of those things that can help you do that. It can help you be able to say those things in a place where you don't need to worry about the repercussions of it, work your way through it, figure out coping skills, how to get around it, you know, find ways to deal with that stuff instead of letting it fester. If you are thinking of starting therapy, if anything I said sounds familiar, you're like, oh, maybe my life would be a little better if I could deal with that kind of thing. You should give BetterHelp a try. It's fully online. It is convenient, flexible. It is suited to your schedule. That's the idea. That's what they're going for. You can fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist. That's a big deal. You can switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. That personal connection, I believe, to be super important. Again, I'm not a professional. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/iFanboy today. You get 10% off your first month. That is BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.com/iFanboy.